This past Wednesday was Ash Wednesday. Today we gather as Baptists and calling this day Ash Sunday. With the smoke and the ash of the season, we are inspired to remember that we are ashes. And the word says, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. We are no more than mortal people, and yet we are coming before an immortal, almighty God. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to meet him.
See the words, they are on page 23 in your hymn book, and they should be on the screen this morning. Let's stand and let's worship our Lord and Savior. God is so good. And on the fourth verse, we're going to sing it a cappella.
Marks the first Sunday in the season of Lent. And so we do not stand and say God is good all the time, and all the time God is good, not because it isn't so, but because we come with a more solemn and somber mood to worship in these next several Sundays. Our theme for the season of Lent this year is the ashes of Lent, and we are building one Sunday at a time an altar of ash, where we are acknowledging that there are things in our lives that need to be burned away. There is sin in our life that needs to be burned away. And I find year after year, Baptists don't really like Lent. We don't like giving things up. We don't like some of the symbolism of funeral and sorrow and somber. We like our hallelujahs. We like our praise gods. We are often uncomfortable with some of the practices, like Ash Wednesday. In fact, many times churches have tried to have Ash Wednesday service and no one comes. And so we have been doing for the last 3 years, this is our fourth year, doing Ash Sunday, where we come together in the midst of smoke and ash, and we remember that we are but ashes, and to ashes we will return, and we are but dust, and to dust we shall return. It's a humility. It's a humbling act. And so there will be a part in our service today. I don't want you to freak out or worry about it, but we will have a time where we will confess our sins together, where we acknowledge that we are sinners in need of grace. This is the whole reason for this time of year, Lent, is because we are sinners. That is why the cross was necessary. And so we'll invite you at a certain point in the service, and you'll see it in your program, to come forward if you like. You don't have to, no one's going to force you, but to receive the mark of the cross in ash. Traditionally, it's upon the forehead. It's a symbol that we belong to Christ. We are under his seal, the seal of the cross. And it's something that's very visible. People will see you today walking around with that cross on your forehead, wondering about you. And you can wipe it off if you want to, but that might be symbolic as well. If you're uncomfortable receiving it on your head later today in the service, you can receive it on your hand if you just want it that way. That's also acceptable, but it's not quite as powerful, I don't think. So people come into a service like this today, and they're worried about smoke, or they're worried about the purple, or they're worried about the cross, or they're worried about a lot of things. And I would encourage you, don't worry. It's okay. We're going to have this service together and allow the Spirit to move. And I'm the type of person who, the more I'm worshiping and leading in worship and preaching through these years, it seems like the more people are worried about the wrong thing, the more likely the Holy Spirit is to show up unexpected and grab us. So I come to this service today with high expectations and high hopes. We welcome you in the name of Jesus Christ, and we invite you to prepare your hearts and your minds to meet the very Holy Spirit of the living God, who was in this place long before you got here today, long before the lights were turned on, long before even the brick and mortar was laid. The Almighty was here in this place waiting for you.
Good morning, my name is Sophia. I'm going to be reading Psalms 139, 23 through 24. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive ways in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting.
As we reflect on those words of Scripture this morning, let us go to the Lord in prayer. All-knowing God, we gather together with praise and thanksgiving for who you are, and for all that you have done for us. You know us better than we know ourselves, all our thoughts and our actions, and yet you love us anyway. No matter where we go or what we do, your love encircles us, ahead of us and behind, gently leading and guiding and blessing. We praise you for your love and your faithful presence with us in our lives. May your Spirit move in our hearts and our minds as we worship together this morning. Examine our attitudes and our actions. Lay bare the things we need to confess. challenge us with your word and guide us on the paths that lead to everlasting life. For we are your people, called by your name, and that is why we gather here this morning. We lift this prayer in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if you would, please stand and join us singing our hymn of praise, At the Cross, Love Ran Red. Please stand. Thank you.
Well, good morning. How are y'all? Well, I got something here I want to show y'all. Let's see. Let me see if I can get all this here. What are these? Yeah, they sound like bells, don't they? What is this one? Let me see if I can get it all. Set that down. This one. Let's get to this one. How about this one? What's that? What color is it? Silver. And it says, what? Second. And obviously this one's what color? Bronze. So why do you think I have these today? What's going on? The Olympics, that's right. And all these athletes have trained so hard to win one of these three medals, haven't they? Now, it started, do you think they just started when they were 15? No, they started when y'all, when they were your age, playing basketball or playing soccer or right now it's a winter game, so they're not doing those. So they started skiing when they were probably your age. Started figure skating when they were Langston's age or Levi's age. So they started when they were 4 or 5 training. And it takes a lot of training to get to this point. So they train constantly and they practice constantly. It's not just something you just pick up when you're 15 and do. But you know what God tells us? He tells us what we need to be doing. Studying this and training and reading the Bible. This is our only reading and learning in the Bible. And we'll win every race we want to win if we read this. Okay? So, let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for these boys and girls. And I thank you that we have the Bible to win our races every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, guys. All guys. Offertory hymn this morning is God Me Oh That Great Jehovah, and I don't know what page off in, but let's see.
Thank you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this first day of Lent with humble hearts. We are so thankful for the many blessings you give us daily. Lord, may we give with gladness and sincerity as we give back what is already yours. Please bless these cheerful givers and bless the tithes and offerings they bring. In his name we pray. Amen.
As we come to our second scripture reading, there are several powerful symbols in this passage from Joel. We are told that we were given this symbol of weeping, people gathered around crying like at the funeral. We are told that they rend their garments, they tore their garments and put on sackcloth. It's a symbol of humility to de-dress yourself. We look so dignified and so well kept. But in this it says, take off those symbols of dignity. We're told that they are gathered there to fast. Fasting is a strange concept for us modern Baptists, but it's a sense of self-denial. You deny yourself the very thing that gives you life. It's symbolic. We're also given this image of ashes. It says that they were to heap ashes on their heads. It's a symbol of extreme mourning, to surrender yourself to the ashes and to say that I look foolish with these ashes on my head. And through all of these symbols, the scripture is telling us that do we approach sin like death, with complete surrender and humility. I invite you to hear now the words of Joel chapter 2. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. For the day of the Lord is coming, it is near. A day of darkness and gloom. A day of clouds and thick darkness. Like blackness spread upon the mountains, a great and powerful army comes, like never has been from of old, nor will be again after. Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all of your heart, with fasting and weeping and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and relents from punishing. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the aged, gather the children and even infants at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her canopy. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priest, the ministers of the Lord, weep. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not make your heritage a mockery, a byword among the nations. Why should it be said among the peoples, where is their God? Would you approach your sinful state in this season of Lent as though one coming to the mourner's bench? We invite you to take this moment to bow your heads, to close your eyes, to find an aloneness with the Lord. And in the silence, let God search your heart and show if there be any wicked way in you. And would you take this time to confess it? God, we confess our sinfulness to you. We cannot hide it. We do not even try. We know that there are people who are probably a lot worse than we are in the world, but that's not the point. The point is that we have sinned. We have our own fallings, our own shortcomings. We pray that this season of Lent would be a season of renewal for us, a season of change and transformation. Help us, Lord, in this symbol of ash, to be reminded of just how fragile and unpromised life really is. Ashes to ashes is a sobering thought that we could go at any moment, Lord. We are not promised tomorrow. So let us make the most of this day as we surrender to you all that we are. As we say in this season of Lent, God, we are yours and not our own. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you feel so led, we invite you now in this time. There'll be just some music playing for meditation. But if you do feel led to come forward, you can come either to this side or to my side and receive the symbol of the ash on your forehead. If you don't want it on your forehead, we ask that you just approach with your right hand extended so that we could make that mark, that same symbol of the cross on your hand. Would you please come? you bow with me? Lord, we stand in your presence knowing that not only are we called to confess, but we are also called to freely accept your grace and your mercy. We are reminded, Lord, that your promise in the gospel is sure. As you say in 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, you who are faithful and just will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We pray this because we believe it. In Christ's name, amen. Would you pray with me? Oh Lord, we pause asking that you might speak to us today, and that whatever you have to say to us, let us not miss it. In the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen. There are a lot of things in life that we would say we would rather not do. We would rather not go to the dentist, and yet it's a part of life. I would rather not have ever changed a diaper in my life, and yet I have two boys, and so certainly I have. I would rather not go shoe shopping, and yet I have to have shoes. It's a reality. There are a lot of things that we would rather do. I would rather that chocolate not be so bad for you, and yet here we are. I would rather not receive biblical instruction while riding down the highway, listening to a Pentecostal pulpit pounding, yelling, screaming, charismatic Assemblies of God radio evangelist. And yet, here we are. Hold on to that as we turn to the Word of God in Isaiah 58. The prophet Isaiah would rather not a lot of things. And yet, there are things that he must say and things that he must do to be faithful. And so we come to Isaiah 58, very late in the prophet's career, and he still continues to wring his hands and shake his head at the state of things in his nation, the way the world is, and the way things are going, and the way people are acting and behaving, and the choices they're making. And yet it's at a high time of worship and a high time of commitment to principles, biblical principles, and to a certain way of life. Traditional family values are at a height. And so in the midst of that, he proclaims this: the word of God speaks through the prophet. Shout out. Do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet, day after day, they seek me. Such a strange transition. Yet, day after day, they seek me. God has stepped up to the plate and says, I got something to say. Listen, I have a problem with you people. Hear me. And he starts by presenting that problem as day after day, they seek me. What's wrong with seeking the Lord? What's wrong with seeking after him? Why is God troubled by this and aggravated by this? He says, not only do they seek me, but in that same verse, and delight to know my ways. Yet day after day, they seek me and delight to know my ways. As if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. It's a troubling and confusing passage, because he seems to be acknowledging that they are seeking righteousness. They ask for righteous judgments. It even says they delight to draw near to God. He says that they are people who are longing for God. They want more God in their lives. And they seem to be getting everything right. If you were to put it in modern context, it's essentially God saying, they're saying, God, we go to church. We're here every Sunday, Sunday to Sunday. We study your word. We go to Sunday school. We go to book discussion groups and praise and prayer meetings. And we know the word. We're learning it, but we still... there's something that God wants more. They're saying, God, we want you. We want to know you. We're seeking you, but we don't feel your presence in our lives. We don't sense that we are experiencing you in the everyday, today moments. We don't feel like we're having those God encounters that we were promised. Not only do we go to church and study your word, but we tithe and we We have taught Sunday school. We've been deacons. We've been team leaders. We've worked with the children. We've sat in the nursery. We've done it all, and we like to listen to the good music. We sing the hallelujahs and the hymns, and we praise you. We praise God. And we listen to the preacher's words, and yet we walk away still feeling like there was something missing. We seek you. We want to know your ways. The people's response to God, or their cry out in verse 3, why do we fast but you do not see? Why humble ourselves but you do not notice? The people now are accusing God. They're saying, God, we're doing the things that you want us. We're doing Lent even. We're fasting. We gave up chocolate. We gave up internet. We gave up Facebook. We gave up TV. We're doing our daily devotion, but we don't feel like you're hearing us, God. We don't feel like you're sensing that we are needing you. And listen to God's response in verse 3. Look, you serve your own interests on your fast day. Why do we fast or give things up, or why do we even come to church and confess? A lot of times it's just because it makes us feel better. It gives us this sense of accomplishment, like it feeds our sense of self-righteousness. We say, oh, I feel better. I did what I'm supposed to do. He says, look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Often we misunderstand the point of fasting during Lent or giving something up. It's not simply about self-denial. There's something better, something more that God desires through the season of Lent, through the ashes and the fasting and the sackcloth and the humility. He's saying you can do all of these things and yet you go to church, you worship, and yet you give in to oppression, injustice, and violence. He says you sing the hymns and yet you are explicitly participating in a culture that oppresses and turns a blind eye to injustice. We come here and we worship, and then we go out to Walmart and buy a product that was produced by child labor, and we don't take the time to research, where did this come from? How is this so cheap? How is this so affordable? How are these shoes so cheap? We don't acknowledge that maybe there is some oppression behind that or injustice. We sing peace on earth at Christmas, and yet we are complicit in a culture that glorifies violence and demands violence from our governments. We live and die and are addicted to our violence. If there is a problem in the world, our first reaction, even as a Christian nation, is send in the troops. Is this the fast that God is calling for? I think that what God is saying through the prophet Isaiah is, look, I don't need your prayers and thoughts. I don't need your thoughts and prayers in the face of violence. We need action. We need something to be done about the way the world is. We need something to change, real change. We can pray about it all day long. It's kind of like our prayer list. Everybody wants to know about everybody on the prayer list, all the gritty details of their surgery and all of the details about what's going on in their life. But what do we do with that information? God says, I don't want your thoughts and prayers. I want you to do something. fight oppression, stand against injustice, and deny violence its place in society. In verse 6, he says, "Is this not the fast that I choose, that you loose the bonds of injustice and undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house?" Oh my God, bring the homeless poor into your house. "When you see the naked, to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin." Riding down the road, listening to that Pentecostal radio evangelist pounding his fist on a pulpit and getting full steam into his cadence, I love to listen to those preachers. Often I disagree with them theologically. Often they spout out things that are just not biblically true, but every now and then, this guy will catch me off guard. And there he was, like a train barreling down the tracks in full cadence, catching his breath with a ha after every statement, a rhythm as he says, "You come to church, ha. You come and read the Bible, ha. You say I speak in tongues, ha." He was going on, and it began to increase. The crescendo was coming as he said, "You read the Bible, you go to church, you say, but you still say, God, I don't sense your presence in my life. God, where are you at work around me? God, why is my church not growing? God, why did I not see you blessing my life? God, I'm reading the Bible, I'm tithing, I'm speaking in tongues, I'm prophesying. God, what more do you want from me?" And then he just stopped, full stop. You could hear a pin drop over the radio. And he said, "The Apostle Paul said the greatest of the gifts is love in action." And maybe the reason you don't feel like you're experiencing God is because you're not engaging in love in action. Love in action is the doing of those commands we don't like. And as we look at passages like this, these calls to bring the homeless into our house, to cover the naked, to feed the hungry with our bread, to give our best away to those who are poor, to fight oppression and injustice, and to stand against violence. God says, "Yes, indeed, I say it again, I don't just want your thoughts and prayers." It's not enough to just go to worship and know the Bible and check off the list of things that make us a good Christian person. So what we ask God, what do we need to do to be who you're calling us to be? If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt, and you shall rise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. We want to see our world better than it is. We look around and we want our country to be the God-created country we think that it is, that we want it to be. And yet maybe we're going about making the streets to live in the wrong way. Maybe we're going it about the wrong way in terms of repairing the breaches that are in our wall. God says, "You want to know me? You want to experience me in your life? You want to experience me in your life, then fight against the oppression that we see that causes us to be able to buy things cheaply at the expense of someone else's life and health and happiness. It's to stand against being shot while driving black. It's to stand against people who promote violence and would rather fight to protect violence than to protect children. It's not that we say we have all the answers, but we say something's got to be done. We don't just need thoughts and prayers. We need love and action. It's not to build a wall, I can promise you that. And I don't care if that makes you mad or not. It's not to tell the poor people of those SHIT whole nations that they can't come in. It's to say, come on in to the house. Come on into my house. I'll take care of you. It's not to ban people just because of their religion, to say, you can't come into my house because you don't pray the right prayers. That's oppression. That's injustice. And that is violence. It's not to say to the people who are not like us, who have different sexual orientations and preferences, to say to them, we don't want to have anything to do with you. We're going to trample your rights and take away your liberties. Y'all told me that you wanted me to preach the Bible. And I would rather not have to preach a sermon like this. And yet here we are. This is the world we live in. And God says it's not enough to come to the church house and say, I'm good and you're good and we're all good. But love in action. Would you pray with me? Oh Lord, what do we do in a world filled with so much that is wrong? Angry people, angry policies, angry actions, angry churches, and everyone, as Isaiah says, is pointing the finger in anger. We want to experience you this Lent. We want to experience you in our lives and to experience you in our prayer times and in our worship. We want those powerful encounters, those God moments, to be real for us. But it is so hard to hear your word, for it is so hard. Lord, help us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We invite you this morning to respond to God's word in song as we sing the servant song. It's number 613. As you sing, would you respond to God and answer God's call on your life? Whatever he is leading you to do, today is your day of commitment. Would you stand if you're able? Walk the mile and bear the load. Would you receive this blessing as we go? May God bring life out of the ashes for you on this first week of Lent. May you be challenged and your faith deepen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And go in peace.